Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
And if you'd stand with me, if you're able, we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. And today we're starting a series, and it's a Trusting God series. And we're going to put the spotlight on different verses throughout this series on what it means to trust God and how God desires that we trust Him. In fact, trust and faith are synonymous. They're together. All right, look at chapter 6, Matthew, and let's start in verse 25. And if you're in the King James Version, you might want to underline or take note of the word thought. And if you're in another version, you may have the word anxious or you may have the word worry. And you'll see that word six times by the time we get to verse 34. He says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Verse 27. "Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Now here is the key verse of chapter 6 in this Sermon on the Mount. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words directly from you. These words of instruction, of encouragement. Lord, these words filled with promises from you. And God, we pray that we would allow them to penetrate deep within our heart. And Father, that we would think on these words. And Lord, meditate on these words. And Lord, apply these words to our life. Lord, that we can have that peace as we just sang. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, that word that is worry that we were sharing, and there are six times that it is used, is a word in the Greek that is, and that word is thought in the King James Version. The Bible says, "Take no thought." Take no thought of what you should wear. Take no thought of this or take no thought of that. Now, in 1611, when the King James Version was translated, that was a very common word. That's what was used. In fact, if during the 1611 time period, that's when Shakespeare was writing and still living. In fact, Shakespeare himself uses that word a lot in his plays and in his writings of take no thought, because they didn't use the word worry like we do. They used the word thought. And so that was a common word. So if you have the King James Version, that's why that word is used. In other words, don't merimna, which means literally a corrosive anxiety or a corrosive worry. In fact, that's what worry does. Worry is like pouring acid on metal. If you pour acid on metal, it begins to rust. And until something is removed, the rusting will continue. Why? Because the acid is etching into the metal. It's the same thing when it comes to worry. Worry is a corrosive thought, a corrosive attitude, many times towards circumstances that have not even came to pass yet. In fact, a lot of times we worry about the things of tomorrow when today's got its own things right here on our plate. And the Bible says you need to be seeking on a daily basis His glory. And it's hard to give the Lord glory today if we're worried about tomorrow. Let's look at the things that he teaches us. And the first thing that I want you to see is this. I want to get right into this because I don't want to run out of time on this message. But look at verse 25. He says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Now, he doesn't mean sit down and don't eat and don't do anything. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, do not live your life in such a way that the things of your daily needs, the things that you have to do anyway on a daily basis, begin to consume you so much that the kingdom of God gets pushed to the side. Now, think of it like this. The Bible says in 1 John that we are not to love the world nor the things of the world, for those things are passing, even the lust of it. And he says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. In other words, that God is at odds with the lusts of the world. Now, that word for world that is used in 1 John is cosmos. Now, he's not talking about the created trees and the created things of the world that are physical and that are tangible. He's talking about the spiritual host of wickedness. He's talking about the darkness of the domain of the world. And so whenever we get our eyes on the darkness and on the wickedness, and we get our eyes on the spiritual things of the world, what happens? What happens is we've taken our eyes off of the Lord. And so the first point that I want you to see is this. The lessons of nature teach us that worry is unnecessary. You know, that's what I love about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus just looks at the things around him. When we were in Israel, I was amazed by the mustard seeds. The little mustard plants, they just grow all over the place. They grow in a little spot here and a little spot there. They're on the side of the road. They're everywhere. And we were there in February. Those little yellow flowers, and on top of those flowers was pods, and those pods were filled with little bitty mustard seeds. And I can just see Jesus as he's teaching on faith, and he just reaches over there and naturally plucks one of those flowers, and he's unpodding one of those little seeds, and he's showing them the seed. And he's saying, faith is like that. Faith is like this little mustard seed. You know what faith is? Faith is trusting in the Lord. Faith is, and listen, it's a trust that comes because we have saving faith. And when you get saved, when you're born again, you have something that has been placed in you that is a gift of God, and it is called faith. It is the ability to trust God. Now, what we tend to do is we have two stations in our mind. We can only pick up two stations, just like a radio. We pick up the station of this world. Or we tune in, and you got to turn the knob a little bit. You got to turn the knob in a little bit of prayer and a little bit of meditating on the Word and a little bit of self-discipline and a little bit of surrender and a little bit of God, you got to lead my life today. And we, as we turn the dial and we tune in to the kingdom of God, things change in how we think. And so you can't meditate upon the Lord and be following and trusting in the Lord and at the same time worrying. Why? Because they're enemies against each other. It's like oil and water. You can't do both at the same time. So when concern hits, what we do is we use it for fuel. We stuff it in the fuel tank, and we convert it into energy to stymie our faith. So the lessons of nature. Look at the grass. Look at verse 26, and let's look at the birds in the fields. He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Now, skip on down to verse 30. So we see the birds. Now let's look at the grass. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Now, why does he say, oh, ye of little faith right there? Because he's speaking to warriors. Now, Jesus, this is the longest sermon that he preached in the Bible. It's the Sermon on the Mount, and it goes from Matthew 5 to Matthew chapter 7. We've got three chapters here, and all these words from Jesus himself. He starts out with the Beatitudes, and he gets right here, and he's talking about worry. Now, why is worry such a concern for our Lord? It's such a concern because worry is what is going to keep us from being able to live for His glory. And when we get into a mindset of worry, we are not in a mindset of trust. We're not there. And that's why it's sin. A lot of people don't want to hear that because we all worry to a degree. And a lot of people are like, don't tell me that worry is a sin. Good night. You know, we've all sinned there, and we all do to a certain degree. But I want you to see what he says there. He says, "O ye of little faith." He didn't say no faith. He says, "Ye of little faith." He didn't say you don't. It's not that you don't have faith. You're a believer. You're trusting in me. It's the fact that you have a little bit of faith. Because if you had enough faith to understand, you would simply look outside. You would walk outside and creation would minister to you. And that's what point A is on your outline. That's what it means. It means this: we are to work, but not to worry, trusting God. The phrase that we want to look at is, look at the birds of the air. Look back at that in verse 26. Jesus is telling them. He's saying, "I need you to do something." He's saying, "I want you to look at the birds of the air." The next time you're out watching your birds in the backyard and they're coming to fly into your bird feeder, pay attention to those birds, because God is going to teach you a lesson from the birds. That's what he's doing right here. Now, he said the birds of the air, not the birds of the branch, not the birds of a tree nest. He said the birds of the air. Why? Because the birds of the air are doing what they were created to do. They're flying out to get the early worm. The early bird gets the worm. Now, there is two things that are taking place with this bird. This bird is doing what it was created to do. It's not just sitting in the nest waiting on God to come feed it. The bird doesn't just sit in the nest with its mouth open saying, "Lord, where are you at?" The bird has to get out and work. And I believe in work. I believe that we should work because God created us to. And so there's the bird, and it's doing what it was created to do. It's not worried about tomorrow, and we have so much more. God gives us his wisdom to save and to do and to invest. We have all that wisdom that comes from God. Bird hadn't got none of that. He says, "Well, just look at that bird. You're all worried about everything. Look at that bird." Well, that bird just leaves its nest every morning, and it flies out, and I provide a worm for that bird. Or I'll provide a cricket for that bird. I wish a whole bunch of birds would show up in our yard and get all those crickets. He's saying, I provide all that. He says, that's how you've got to act. You've got to quit worrying, and you've got to be like that bird, trusting in your heavenly Father. And that's what he tells. That's what he says there. He says in verse 26, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns." Now, what are our barns today? Our barns are bank accounts. We don't gather all of our stuff and put it into a barn and then spend it out of that barn. We put all of our stuff into a bank account. It's our monetary values. We put it in, and the bird doesn't have a bank account because it would give that bird something else to worry about. He says, "Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" The Bible says that even if a sparrow falls to the ground, it doesn't happen apart from the will of the Father. That's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Look at the next one. The Christian faith teaches us that a worrisome spirit is unredeemed thinking. That's on your outline. The Christian faith teaches us that a worrisome spirit is unredeemed thinking. You know, for years I didn't understand that. That verse 32, I believe it is. He says, back up, by the way, to verse 31. He says, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" He says, "For after all these things the Gentiles seek." I used to not understand that verse. What is he trying to say there? These are the things the Gentiles seek. Well, we have to seek these things too. No, what he's saying is unredeemed thinking. The Gentiles represented unredeemed thinking. The Christian represents kingdom thinking. When Teresa and I got married, our minds changed. Whenever we said "I do" on the platform, well, I've been saying "I do" ever since, but whenever we said "I do" on the platform, you know what happened on that day? My brain affected Teresa's mind. She became better for it. And then my mind became better through the marriage because of my marriage to Teresa. Everything that we do, we have to do together. Now, whenever I make a decision, I have to make it in light of Teresa Rudd. I have to give her a call. I have to sit down with her and talk to her. Everything that we do, we have to do together. If I decide to go here or go there or do this or do that, then Teresa has to be involved in that. Well, that's what happened when you got married. When you got married to Jesus Christ, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you got a brand new man. You got a man that was endowed by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes to live in our heart. And when the Holy Spirit comes to live in your heart, your mind no longer can think in the world only. Your mind cannot think anymore independent of God. You can only think with dependence upon God. Why? Because you've been married to a new source, endowed with that source's thinking called the Holy Spirit, to give you a mind of Christ so that your decisions now involve the glory of God. Now, the world doesn't want to hear that. The world says, I don't want to make a decision based on what God thinks. I want to make a decision based on what I think. That is what he means in verse 32. For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, here's the point of that. He's saying the Gentiles are living life pursuing things. Nothing wrong with pursuing things. Nothing wrong with having ambition. He's saying, but they're doing it apart from me. He's saying, they seek all these things, but you need to be seeking my glory, and then let me add all these things to you. See the difference? That's what I'm trying my best to make clear. In other words, now because of the influence of Jesus in my heart, now every decision I make has to go through the thought processes of God. The other night we went to Tyler and we ate. Caitlin and Madeline were together and it gave me and Teresa a date night. So we went to Tyler and we ate. And man, it was really good. We ate at On the Border. And I ate a really, really hot, spicy meal. And so did she. And I mean, we were on fire after eating that meal. It was so hot. And I said, Teresa, I had to take the mind and share my mind with her mind. I couldn't just jump in the car and Teresa jump in the car with me and we head over to Andy's for a triple chocolate without first running that past her because we're married. And so we jump in the car and I said, Teresa, I want some Andy's triple chocolate. And it's cold and it's good. And so we went through there and she got something else, key lime, something, custard, something. And we agreed together. The Lord wants us to get his permission and to get his influence in everything that we do. So why worry? Why worry? Because it's the things that we see horizontally that create the worry, not the things that we see vertically. When our eyes are vertical, the things horizontally begin to change. They look different. If you end up with an unforgiving spirit, or you end up with a very prideful or jealous heart or covetousness or any of those things, where is that coming from? It's coming from the focus on the world and not on God. But when we focus on God, suddenly people look different. When we focus on God, our job looks different. When we focus on God, everything that we do looks different. Because God has a whole bunch of triple chocolates that he's already put in place for you. Because his blessings are there, but we forfeit them whenever we decide to live life without him. It's not that we're not saved. It's just that we are tuned in to the world instead of turning the knob and tuning in to the Spirit. So we got to trust God. If y'all remember that poem, The Robin and the Sparrow, written years ago by Elizabeth Cheney, it goes like this, and it's based on this scripture about these birds. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Even the creation knows where its provision comes from. You know what? That leads us to our last point. And think about this, because it's so important. Jesus is to be first in your life. Then his peace and provision will follow. Now, there's some really key words you can read right over in verse 33. He says this. He says, but, now that word is there. to mean instead of. Instead of being tuned into the world, tune into the kingdom of God. He's saying seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, how do we do that? Now, here we are operating in this world system on a daily basis. And so what it means is that my head, my mind is already in the heavenly places. The Bible tells us that we already are in the heavenly places. So my thinking is in the heavenly places already, so that what I do in this world is going to be influenced by heaven first. Therefore, I'm going to be actively, daily pursuing and seeking the mind of Christ. That word that's right there in verse 33 that says, but seek. The word seek right there is in the present tense. What he's saying is, don't seek one time the Lord. In fact, remember when Israel was in the wilderness, and the Bible says that God brought manna from the sky every day to Israel. I mean, he didn't bring a whole bunch of manna down and say, y'all go get your shovels out and go store up a bunch of that because you're going to need it for about the next 40 years. He didn't say that. You know what he did? Manna came down every single day. And they ate manna everywhere you could eat, every way you could eat manna. They had manna bread. They had manna in every way. They ate everything. The recipe book, I'd love to have seen it, Frankie. It had manna in everything that they ate. But that was heaven's food. It came out of the sky. It was delivered by God on a daily basis. The Bible says that the Lord daily loads us with his benefits. And it is a picture. It was not just meant for their physical nourishment. It was a picture of one that was going to rain down out of heaven and come and save multitudes of millions of people. And his name is Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. So what is he saying? He's saying when you get up in the morning, you got to eat. When you get up every day, you got to have a meal with the Lord. You need to be meditating on his word. You need to be receiving his word so that when you go through the day, he can put opportunities before you. If you're not willing to get filled with the word, why is he obligated to give you the blessing? If you're not willing to eat of his word, why is he obligated to put somebody for you to witness to in front of you that day? If you're not in the word and you're not eating of his word, he is not obligated to do anything. Why? Because you're refusing him in the process. So the picture here is very clear. He's saying you got to seek. You got to go out. You got to get up in the morning like a bird. And you got to go out looking first today, this morning, in your mind, while you're going to work, while you're doing the things you've got to do. You got to be seeking the kingdom of God. And one more thing, his righteousness. That means you need to be willing to live a life that pleases God. You know, I love the fact that in the first part of that verse says, but seek first, you ought to circle the word first, before you have time to even worry, before you ever have time to even give it a thought, seek first. Now, he uses the word kingdom of God. Did you know any kingdom has to have a king? And Jesus is the king. If there's a kingdom, it's got to have a king. And the Bible says that we are under the sway of the wicked one on this earth. We're under the sway of the wicked one. There's darkness in this world. It's called the kingdom of darkness. But did you know with Jesus Christ, he's brought a new kingdom? And if you've believed in him and you've received him by faith into your heart, did you know that the kingdom, the Bible says that the kingdom will be within you? Now that's pretty amazing. And I've shared this a long time ago, but I remember one time I came to the end of Elm Street over close to Cliff's Place there on Palace. And I mean a whole bunch of birds landed on a power line. They lined that power line. And I was just amazed by those birds. And I got to looking up. I didn't have Teresa with me to have two brains so that she could tell me that I had to go. But I got enamored by all the birds on the power line. And I thought about that verse that says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And I was thinking about those birds and how those birds are so happy. You could hear them chirping up there on the power line, and they just looked so happy. They were in fellowship. I mean, they were having church on the power line. And I'm thinking, this is awesome. And then it dawns on me a little bit later that the people behind me didn't really care to watch the church of the birds. They were ready to go. So I had to fly, and I did. And so the picture that Jesus is giving here is if you want to have joy in your life, and it was in one of the songs we sang a while ago, "For the joy of the Lord is our strength," Nehemiah 8:11. And if you want to have joy in your Christian walk, it's never going to happen. There's not going to be peace in your Christian walk, and there won't be joy in your Christian walk if verse 33 is not taking place. You got to seek the Lord. You got to love Him. You got to want Him. You got to desire to receive from Him. And then when you're seeking His kingdom, a natural byproduct is what's next: His righteousness. His righteousness. He wants a people set apart. And then He says, you know what I'm going to do? Because you're seeking Me, because you're seeking My kingdom, I'm going to take care of all those things I told you about in verse 25 to 32. All these things shall be added to you. He said, I'm going to do for you what you couldn't do for yourself, because you're involving Me in your day. Now, He gives one more therefore in verse 34. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What did He mean by that? I think what He meant by that is very clear. I think what Jesus is saying is He's saying, if I'm taking care of your today, why won't I take care of your tomorrow? If I've got you today, don't you think I've got your tomorrow? It's already handled. And you know what? We actually lay out the red carpet for the Holy Spirit to bless us in ways we would have never dreamed, when we simply relax and just simply give it all to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the lesson on trust that You have in Matthew chapter 6. And Lord, that's our desire. Lord, our desire is to leave this place today encouraged, to leave this place today with a kingdom mind tuned in to Your Holy Spirit, tuned in to Your Word. And Lord, to smile and to relax and to rest in the power of Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, to be ready to be used of You in whatever way You ask. Lord, ready to bless. You said in Your Word that no one can come to the Father unless they've been drawn, or to the Son unless they've been drawn by the Father. And Lord, we know that You choose to draw people to the Father through Christians. You use Christians as ambassadors. You use Christians as witnesses. And Lord, people are watching our lives. And Lord, when we live a life of continually stumbling, Lord, it hurts and it scars those that You're trying to bring to Jesus Christ. Father, help us to seek You. Help us to live a holy and a righteous life. And God, bless us as we do it. Lord, we depend on Your provision. We depend on what You can do, not what we can do. You may be in here this morning and maybe you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never truly given your heart to Jesus. I got good news for you. In fact, that's what the gospel is. It is good news that God loves you and He wants a relationship with you that will last for eternity. And He wants you to give your heart to Him. And you can do that right now, right where you are. You can simply say by faith from your heart, as the Spirit is drawing you to Him. And you can say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. I believe that You are God and that You left heaven and that You died on the cross for my sins to give me eternal life. Lord, I can never work enough to earn it. Lord, I can never be good enough to get it. But Lord, I ask You to forgive me of all of my sin. And I ask You, Lord, right now, this moment, to come into my heart and to change me and to make me a follower of Jesus Christ the rest of my life. Lord, I receive You today and I thank You. And the Bible says for those who received Him, He gave the right to become children of God. You can make that public today. You can come forward as soon as this invitation begins and you can say, I just asked Jesus into my heart. And we'll help you to grow, and we'll rejoice with you and celebrate with you your decision for Christ. And you may be in here this morning and maybe God has been drawing you to join this church and to identify with this body. You can do that. Maybe it's something altogether different. You can do it right where you are. The Lord sees your heart do business with God as He'll do business with you. He loves you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.